Hello and welcome to the HR Means Business podcast, which is part of the HR Happy Hour Network. My name is Mervyn Dinnan and I am your host. And I'm coming to you live from WorkHuman Live 2023, the annual conference from WorkHuman. And I'm speaking to Isha Vicaria from WorkHuman about their latest WorkHuman IQ research report on the evolution of work. Isha, would you like to introduce yourself and tell us a bit about the report, which I think is in its 15th year, is it?
That's right.
Why do WorkHuman do it?
So, as you mentioned, 15 years of looking at the experience of employees at work internationally, looking at common themes, looking at what, how to improve the employee experience, especially with global phenomenon around us. So I'm a researcher at the intersection of product analytics. I speak with clients directly about how recognition works for them, but I'm also in the thought leadership space. I'm a social psychologist and I'm interested in how emotions are manifested at work and how we can best improve them.
Okay, now this year I see you've included more global trends. Can you tell us a bit about the report overall and maybe some of the key trends, particularly anything that maybe surprised you?
Sure. So we surveyed in the United States and Canada, North America, in Ireland and UK. And we were interested in generally what is a human workplace and how is that different in different countries for different people. Some of the trends looked the same throughout. We were interested in where people are working. Are they working on site, remote, hybrid? And we didn't see much difference in the US in terms of where people were working compared to the last time we did this report. But we did see some differences in Canada and in Ireland. And in general, there seems to be less of a trend of fully remote work and more people going into a hybrid work mode.
Now, there were some interesting findings, I thought, around the value to employees being able to have a say in their preferred work arrangements, potential impact on pay as well. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So one of the common themes throughout this report, something that kept coming up, is that employee preference matters. Globally, employee preference matters. And when employees are given an opportunity to have a say in their work arrangement, they by and large have lower stress and burnout, which is infinitely important, especially in this day and age when burnout and stress are so rampant. And the other thing about pay is we dared to ask a question that no employer would, which is, would you take a pay cut to keep or obtain your preferred work arrangement? And we found that 22% of our survey sample said yes, they would sacrifice salary to keep or obtain a preferred work arrangement, whether that is flexibility or even in office perhaps. But what matters is that employee preference is taken into account and that one size isn't fits all for all employees. Everyone has different needs.
Okay, you mentioned the findings there around stress and burnout. Particularly relating to hybrid arrangements. And I was interested in some of the research that was talking about people effectively kind of switching gears throughout the week.
Right.
Depending on how they were working. Can you expand a bit on that?
Sure. So as you mentioned, 15th time we've looked at this. And one of the things we do with this research is try to build on what we've seen before. And previously we saw some difficulties in hybrid working, and we interpreted people struggling with the turning on and turning off and finding their flow in the office and at home, and that kind of contributing to overall burnout, stress, and things like that. And what we're finding this time is that burnout itself isn't just one thing. Burnout itself is different things put together and can manifest differently according to where you work or the different places you work, such as hybrid. So we asked about different components of burnout, such as trouble staying focused, making mistakes at work because your mind is on other things, you're distracted, functioning on autopilot, and having a physical mental exhaustion. And what came out with the hybrid population is they're the most having trouble staying focused. And that fits with what we're seeing about this difficulty in finding your flow, finding your resources, turning things on, being on time for the office versus at home. It's just, it's a code switching that's contributing to this burnout.
Okay, and for those who presumably are doing part of the week, maybe at home, part of the week in the office, that's, again, a very different flow, I should imagine. And do you know if it's something that, people will do a block? So they might do 2 days at home and then 2 days in the office, or are they, I should imagine it's harder if they're just intermittent, one day at home, next day in the office and stuff.
You know, we didn't look at that specifically. We actually looked at whether people were majority in office or majority at home, but not which days of the week. And we didn't find many differences between the different kinds of hybrid work, which is why we put them all together.
Okay. Now, a particular standout for me was the value of employee resource groups. And I noticed, looking at the research, that maybe the UK possibly lags a little bit behind on them. Can you give us, I suppose, some insight into employee resource groups?
Sure.
What are they? How do they start?
Sure.
How do they get executive buy-in? And what kind of difference can they make for the individuals in the organization?
Right. So an employee resource group is a voluntary employee-led group of affinity group. It's a community of like-minded individuals who share common goals or interests. Very common. It's very common to see a women's network or a women's ERG for female identifying employees, and other groups for Black, for Hispanic, you name it. There are varieties, and it's not the same at different organizations. Each organization may have their own culture of ERGs and ERG offerings. What we found was there are certain groups of people who are more likely to participate in an ERG. These are individual contributors. These are Black and Hispanic employees. These are LGBTQIA workers, and these are caretakers as well, who may have a special interest in identifying and connecting with and supporting others going through similar life responsibilities and stages. So what's interesting about employee resource groups is, as you can tell with the description of what it is, there's a community built in, there's connection, there's more of an identification with the organization's values and more advocacy for the organization. You're more likely to say, recommend your organization as a good place to work. But then there's a dichotomy, because individuals who are participating in these ERGs, there's extra workload placed on them, and they're more likely to say they're highly stressed. So what we're finding is that we need to do more to bring visibility to this work and that effort, and add the value to it, or recognize the value in the work that individuals are bringing to building a community at work.
Okay. There was a particular focus, I know, around employee resource groups for women. How are they helping support women in the workplace?
Well, yeah, so women in the workplace, we have to do what we can to support each other. We, through resources, through learnings, by bringing in speakers, by communicating, thinking, and supporting each other. Very important.
The overall report uses the expression "the human workplace" and how it's one that prioritizes psychological safety for employees. I actually also noticed that the UK performs particularly badly on this one.
That's right.
Can you tell us a bit more about human workplace? What is it, and what are the benefits from it to psychological safety?
So psychological safety is interesting, because it is a term and concept created by an American researcher, Amy Edmondson. And so I think we're just at the beginning of understanding how psychological safety is a global experience and what it means in different countries. But essentially, psychological safety is the sense that you can be yourself at work. You can, you feel like you belong, you feel like you, your unique skills and talents are valued. But the differentiating aspect of psychological safety is this vulnerability and risk-taking aspect, that you feel like you can stand up for your beliefs, you can push the envelope and innovate without fear of repercussions. So that's what psychological safety is. And unsurprisingly, we see the United States has the highest psychological safety. It's a term created and validated from US-based research. And we found UK had the lowest score of psychological safety. So that was interesting. And we need to do more to understand why and where. So the next thing we did, other than just looking across the board, what is the overall score, was where are those individual differences? And we saw that taking a risk was the lowest scored item in the UK for psychological safety. So that may speak something to the culture of feeling like you can push the boundaries and stand out and take a risk.
So does that mean in the UK we're more likely to take a risk, or we're least likely?
Less likely.
Less likely.
Yeah.
So that doesn't sound like the Brits to me. It might be, thinking about it, my experience of different workplaces, and particularly the research I've done, that it might be that more some UK workplaces are a bit more structured.
Perhaps.
There's a bit more limits, I suppose, set on, you know, what you can influence, mm-hmm. what you can get involved with.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame we perform poorly. And in fact, another area I noticed in the report where the UK performs poorly is people being stressed, worried about losing their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And what can companies do to address this? Because it's clearly not necessarily something they're doing, unless mm-hmm. it's a hire and fire outfit. But it's people are obviously very concerned about mm-hmm. it. And mm-hmm. I suppose I appreciate that the cost of living crisis, mm-hmm. as we kind of use it now globally, it seems to be more acute at the moment in the
mm-hmm.
UK,
right.
or talked about a lot
right.
more.
Right.
So it might be more top of mind of concerns. But mm-hmm. but what can be done about people stressing about this? How mm-hmm. can companies mm-hmm. really help support them?
Well, that's exactly what I would have said, that, you know, global events are certainly top of mind for employees, especially in the UK with cost of living, and that's contributing to stress and burnout and fear of losing a job. We're seeing massive headlines of layoffs, and that fear is seeping into employees' everyday experiences. Now, the good thing is we see a human workplace, as you mentioned, is a buffer to these negative experiences that are happening all around us. And a human workplace is a combination of things. A human workplace is one that centers on employee recognition. It centers on realizing and celebrating personal milestones and life events, and is one that celebrates and encourages frequent check-ins, manager and employee. And we see that when employers do this well and incorporate each of those components, we see the highest psychological safety, the highest endorsement of feeling safe to take risks, feeling like you belong and you're valued.
Okay, I'm interested about the kind of life events, mm-hmm. those personal mm-hmm. stories. Your research, from what I could see, showed that employees are very keen
mm-hmm.
on organizations mm-hmm. kind of recognizing mm-hmm. life events mm-hmm. and allowing them to maybe recognize mm-hmm. and to celebrate them
mm-hmm.
with colleagues.
Yep.
The UK was particularly poor at this one. So what are you seeing that companies are doing and can do to help, I suppose, support this and encourage this kind of culture where people mm-hmm, mm-hmm. don't feel they have to leave their personal lives at
right,
the door.
Right, exactly. And here's the interesting thing. We saw, in terms of the number of people who say that their organizations already do celebrate life events, the U.S. scored the highest. Most people in the U.S. feel that they work somewhere that this is normal. And in the U.K., 10 percentage points lower. But when you look at how employees are thinking about this and requesting this, we asked, do you wish there were more opportunities to celebrate life events at work with your colleagues? And the response rate across the four countries studied is almost exactly the same. So even though we're seeing a variety in how it's being currently used, everybody wants this to the same extent. And what that means is exactly as you're saying, we don't, especially after COVID, we can't just leave our personal lives at home. We've just come from a couple of years of Zooming with our children in the background and our pets climbing on our shoulders. The work and life is enmeshed. it has become enmeshed. And we can't just leave our human side at home when we go to work. We have babies. We go on parental leave. We come back from leave. We buy houses. We run marathons. So organizations can celebrate these events, and we find it speaks volumes when an organization does this in an official way to celebrate the wellness achievements of an individual, the personal achievements, having a baby, getting married, and celebrating that you are a human being that extends beyond work, and we appreciate you for every aspect of your life.
Overall, looking at the research you did, what we've obviously touched on quite a few of, I think, the key takeaways. Is there anything overall in the research that you particularly were surprised by, or that you feel we need to look more deeply into?
So, not surprised, but I would love to close with a quote that there's a psychological difference between wanting to be somewhere and having to be somewhere. And that, I think, resonates throughout the report. There's a psychological difference between being told you must work in a hybrid model or from home or on site versus wanting to work in a hybrid model or on home or on site. And that wanting is the autonomy that we want employees to feel to be their best selves at work.
Okay, well, let's hope employers are listening.
Yes.
How can people get hold of a copy of the report?
Workhuman.com, resources, reports and guides, right there.
Okay, and we'll put that in the notes. And Isha, it's been a pleasure to talk
to you. Likewise. Hope it's not the last.
Yeah, me too.